Let us pray. You have the words of life. And whenever you speak, there is peace, there is joy, there is encouragement, there is healing for our souls. Your voice brings direction. So come, Lord Jesus, through the power of your Spirit. Speak to your people who have gathered to hear your voice. I avail myself to you to reach out to the hearts of your people that we may be empowered, transformed, and equipped to be your disciples in our community and in our city. Bless us, O God, and we shall be blessed. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Been looking at our series, Walking with God. Walking with God. And today we are looking at the kingdom of prophets. And our sub-theme is hearing God. Hearing the voice of God. So in the Old Testament, there were three institutions. The kingship, the priesthood, and the ministry of the prophets. The kings were more into government and the politics of the day. The priesthood was responsible for the worship, the sacrifices, and everything that had to do with worship in the temple. And then we have the prophets. The prophets were more like the preachers in those days. They will hear God's voice. God will give them a message and they will come preach or deliver the message to the people. The kingship, the priesthood, and the prophetic ministry. Now, among these three offices or ministries, it was the prophets who had the ability to hear God, so they can communicate what God had for his people. They had to have that ability to know that what I'm hearing is God's voice and also to understand what God was saying. So prophets have that gift of hearing God's voice. We, in our time, under the economy of the New Testament, we have the ability to hear God. God has given us that grace to be able to hear and to discern his voice. And so today, that is a journey that we are going to embark on. Communication is very important. Our faith is a faith of relationship. We are not just a religion. There is a God who loves us, and we respond to that love by loving him and loving one another. And wherever there is a thriving, life-giving, purposeful, fruitful relationship, there is an effective communication. Check every good relationship. You talk with those who have married for decades, and they will tell you, yeah, you got to communicate well. And whenever a relationship is on the rocks, you will find a lack of effective, not just in your relationship, even in our work situations, in organizations, in companies, in industries. When effective communication is lacking, productivity will also be lacking behind. So communication is very important, not just in our work, but in our spiritual formation, in our work with God. In the scripture that was read to us, this little boy, Samuel, his mother was Hannah. Hannah was struggling to have a child. And for many years, he would go to the temple in Shiloh and pray every year. It was their annual ritual for many years, believing God. But her prayers were not being, her expectations were not being met, let me put it that way. And so she decided to make a deal with God. This is not in the scripture. This is my imagination, okay? So she was like, God, I know you don't have a prophet, You need a prophet, and I also need a child. Let's make a deal. If you give me a male child, I'm going to give him back to you so you can have a prophet. God said, good deal. So guess what? She had a child. And true to her words and her vow, she dedicated the child Samuel to the service of God under the leadership of the priest Eli. Now, the scripture said that at that time, the word of God was very rare. Divine revelations were so scarce, very rare. Why? Because at that time, there was a spiritual and moral bankruptcy in Israel. In fact, the priest Eli himself could not handle his family. His sons, who were supposed to take over the responsibility of the priesthood, have become morally bankrupt, spiritually going down. God was not happy. And because of that, God had gone silent. The word of God was rare. No visions, no prophetic messages. And then the little boy Samuel came into the picture. So Samuel was in the temple offering the services, and he was asleep at night. And God decided to break his silence because finally, I have found a vessel that I could use to speak to my people. So Samuel was asleep in the middle of the night, and God came and he called out, Samuel. Samuel heard a voice, but he could not discern whose voice it was. So he thought it was Eli. Probably God sounded more like a human. God sounded more like a person, so he thought it was Eli. So he woke up, ran to Eli, and he said, here I am, you called me. He said, I did not call you. Go back and sleep. He went back to lay down. God came back. Sammy, he got up. He went back to Eli. Once again, God sounded like human. And he thought it was Eli. Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. He went back. God came back. Sammy, he got up, went back to Eli. The text did not tell us all the gaps in between. I can imagine some little frustration in the middle of the night. I'm waking up. I'm really sleepy and all that stuff. And we can imagine the frustrations of Eli too. So he went back to Eli the third time, and Eli realized that God was calling Samuel. And he said, go and lie down. And when he comes back and calls you, you say, Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. So Samuel went back for the fourth time, and God came back again. This time, God mentioned his name twice. Sammy, Sammy. And he responded, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. God gave him the message. He woke up the next morning, and then he had to break the bad news to Eli. God was rendering judgment to the household of Israel because he had allowed moral and spiritual corruption in his family and in Israel. It struck me in the narrative that God would mention Samuel's name 5 times. 5 times. How would you feel if the maker of the world comes to you and calls out your name? Samuel did not belong to the priesthood family. In those days, you had to come from a particular family to be a priest. Samuel did not come from that family. And so I can imagine this young boy, Samuel, I'm just a servant in here. I'm not one of the priests. I'm never going to be one of the priests. I'm just here to serve. Maybe the sons of Eli were not treating him well. And this little boy left home, left his own family to serve God. Here's his name called by God. God was telling him, I know you. I see you. You are not just passing through. You are not just rendering any service. I have seen you and I validate your identity. I validate your being, who you are. Samuel, Samuel, you are mine. And before you even became a clot of blood in the womb of your mother, I knew you. Samuel, you are mine. You are mine. I feel like somebody needs to hear this message, that God calls you by your name. God knows you. He sees you. He knows your identity. He knows the very details of your life, just as he knew Samuel fully. Sometimes you can look at yourself and you are like, I'm just a little thing in this world. I really don't matter that much. God calls you by your name. He knows you. So a little boy Samuel had to learn how to discern God's voice, because God sounded too so human that he confused him with Eli. He had to learn how to identify God's voice from the many voices that were around him. So we're going to learn how to discern, how to know, identify the voice of God. Friends, as I said earlier on, because of our relationship with Christ, we have the ability to hear God. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27. John wrote about Christ as the good shepherd and his relationship with his flock. Listen to what Jesus said. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It didn't say my sheep can know my voice. He said, my sheep know my voice. That is, it's part of them. It's innate. It's part of their being to know the voice of the good shepherd. We all have that innate ability to know the voice of God. Now, let's do a little demonstration. June, come up here. So June and I are going to do a little demonstration. June, I'm going to ask a couple of guys in here to call out your name. Now, I want you to identify which of the voices you hear belongs to your dad. Can you do that? Okay, all right. Now, I don't want you to cheat, so just turn and look at the cross, okay? Now, we're going to have one gentleman from the center aisle, and then another. After that, we'll have another one from the left aisle, and then you will talk. Okay. Now, when you hear the voice, you tell us, my dad, or it's not my dad, okay? All right. Let me turn it up for you. Good. All right.
June.
That is not my dad.
Are you sure about that? Okay. All right. She sounds so sure.
That is not my dad.
That's not your dad. You really sure about that? Okay. All right.
That is my dad.
That's your dad. You sure it's your dad? How did you know? How could you tell your dad's voice from the many voices you had?
Because I hear his voice a lot.
Does he trouble you at home? Thank you so much. Thank you. It's very simple demonstration, but very powerful. This is the lesson. She said, I was able to tell my dad's voice because I hear his voice a lot. She is familiar with the voice of his dad. He knows the sound of his dad. She knows the sound prophet's dad. How can we tell the sound of God? How does God sound? I tell you what, God sounds like his word. This is the voice of God. And if we can hear it a lot, like June, we will become familiar with how God sounds. And when we know how God sounds, we will be able to tell the voice of God from the many voices out there that compete for our attention. God sounds like his word. And that's why you must be so convinced that this is the word of God, and whatever you hear contradicts the wisdom found here, the principles found here. You must not take that as God's voice. God will never say anything that will contradict his written word. It doesn't matter who says it. It doesn't matter which office that voice is coming from. If it contradicts this word of God, I can say it on authority that it's not God's voice. And if it's not God's voice, it has no business with me. We are the flock of God, and we hear only one voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd. Friends, you have the ability to hear God daily because you have his word. He says, my sheep hear my voice. As a bird flies and the fish swims, so my sheep hear my voice. It is natural for the bird to fly. It is natural for the fish to swim. So is it natural for the children of God to hear God's voice. And I tell you what, the more you spend time with his written word, you will begin to familiarize yourself with the voice of God, and you can discern. So how do we train ourselves to hear God? Let's go back to the story of Samuel. God showed up in the middle of the night when everyone was asleep. Silence. The stillness of the night. God showed up. If we are going to hear God's voice, we got to be still in our heart and in our minds. Our world is filled with so many distractions, so many things competing for our attention and our time, so many voices. We're speaking to ourselves. The world is speaking to you. Satan is also speaking to you. And because you are God's child, he also speaks to you. But you know what? Our voice and the voice of the world and that of Satan are so loud that they drown out the voice of God. And we spend our time attending to the other voices but God's. So the first step is to quiet your spirit and your heart. It could be a space, a sacred space you set up in your home, quiet with your coffee and your Bible, a little devotional time, you and yourself or you and your spouse, having that devotional time. Create that quietness and still your mind and your heart. And I tell you what, you will hear God. He's a God who speaks on the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, the Bible said that the tongues of fire, why tongues? We use tongues for communication, right? Apart from eating ice cream. I was telling my story with ice cream with Janet. We use tongues for communication. So the Holy Spirit coming and settling upon the disciples in the form of tongues of fire meant that God is a speaking God because he's in a relationship with us. And if we're going to grow in our relationship, there has to be a communication. God is a speaking God. Now, are God's children hearing children? We are. We just have to develop that ability, that nature. We have to develop it. Now, how do you know that what you're hearing is really from God, Henry? How can we tell? Let's do a test, a discernment filter. Turn your pew Bible, take your pew Bible and open to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Now, let's hear what Paul wrote to the church, looking at some filters to help us to discern the voice of God. Now, Paul said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." So Paul is giving us a criteria. He's saying that if you are thinking of anything praiseworthy, anything excellent, anything virtue, think, meditate on these things. And as I was reflecting, I thought this is an excellent checklist for us to discern if what I'm hearing is really from God. So number one, whatever thing is true, is what you are hearing true? True by what standard? True by God's word standard. I have to be very particular because we live in a very subtle world right now. Is what I'm hearing true by the standard of God's word? If yes, it could be from God. If no, throw it away. It's not from God. As I've told you before, if what you are hearing contradicts the word of God, it is not from God. He is not inconsistent. God is always consistent in his character. Number two, is what you are hearing from that voice noble? That means, is it dignified? Is it respectable? Is it honorable? Is what you are hearing, does it honor your relationship with God and the relationship around you? Is it noble? Number three, is it just? When I checked the Greek, they rendered the word just right. Is it right? Is it upright? Is it confirmed by God's word? Number four, is what I'm hearing pure? Is it innocent? Is it clean? Is it wholesome? Is it holy? Five, is it lovely, pleasing, acceptable? Six, good report. Is it admirable? And then he capped it off with praiseworthy. Can we shout hallelujah to what that voice is telling you? Can we say amen to what that voice is telling you? Friends, I want to encourage you to, when you go back home, get back to the scripture, Philippians 4:8, and go through again. And let that become your discernment filter to discern if what you are hearing, it's really from God or from the world or from Satan or from yourself. There could be other means to discern God's voice, but I like to have my things from the Bible. Friends, God is not so far from you. In the Old Testament, God had to select special folks, special people, to anoint them so they could hear his voice and speak his word. But in the economy of the new covenant, God lives on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit indwells each and every one. We are all candidates to hear the voice of God. God is no more looking for special folks to anoint them so they can hear him. He's anointed all of us because he is the good shepherd. And we are his sheep. And we hear his voice. And we follow that voice. I pray that the Holy Spirit will empower us to be still in our hearts and in our minds, to have that desire to hear his voice always and always. Because whenever we follow him, he leads us to a place of peace and prosperity. He is the Prince of Peace. And whenever he speaks, there is no anxiety. Whenever the Prince of Peace speaks, there is no confusion. Whenever the Prince of Peace speaks, there is no fear. There is peace. That is your green light. The peace of God that accompanies his voice. May the Lord bless us. May he give us the ear to hear his voice whenever he calls us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.